Let's pray. God, we have prayed this already, Lord, that your word would speak into our lives. God, that it would change us from the inside out. God, that your word would do something in us so that we walk out of here different than the way we came. And I pray that your word will challenge us, it will remind us, but it will also give us hope. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, and the congregation said, amen. So, a mirror can be a very, very influential thing. Looking at a mirror can make a person go on a diet. Looking at a mirror can cause a woman to change her different outfit 5 times. Amen. Or looking in a mirror can cause you to just go back to bed and start all over. Let's just start all over. The other day, I was getting in the shower, and I had to pass my mirror to get into my shower. I just happened to look in the mirror and went, oof. That is not my 30-year-old body. And I realized that I need to put on clothes when I pass my mirror before I get undressed before I step in the shower so I don't have to suffer through it. You don't understand what I'm saying. Mirrors are very influential. So I just need to start taking a shower with my clothes on. I don't know. But my point is that mirrors are influential, yes? Do you know that they make something called a skinny mirror? And ladies, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I think they make something called a skinny mirror. It makes people feel better about their weight because it makes them look super slim. Did y'all know that? Okay, so I'm not crazy. I didn't make that up. It's a true story. Do what? Carnival mirrors? Yeah, well, see, you don't want the other one. You don't want the non-skinny mirror. Because then you look like you're about 2 inches tall and 8 feet wide, and nobody wants that. So a good mirror, however, tells the truth. Yes? Well, a good mirror that's effective and it's honest and true, a good mirror always tells the truth, even if we don't like it. So y'all heard the story of Snow White. In the story of Snow White, the wicked witch, she loved her mirror. I'll come back here. I don't have touch screen going on, so... And as long as her mirror told her that she was fairest in the land, she was a happy witch. Y'all remember that story? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? We all know that rhyme. But when the mirror changed its tune and told her that somebody else was the fairest, the witch had to come apart. She flipped out. She found out, well, who's the fairest? Well, Snow White is now the fairest in all the land. Well, the witch was not happy about that, and she just promptly starts manufacturing deadly fruit. Can't be having this. We got to do something about this. So, how do you feel when your mirror doesn't lie? I told you about my experience. Walking from it, that is not my 30-year-old body. That mirror did not lie, Jay, and I believed it. Just saying. But God's word is the perfect mirror for your life. Amen. God's mirror is always true. God's mirror never lies. And to many of our dismay, it doesn't distort the truth to fit our comfort level. Do you mean to say that one again? God's truth, God's word, that mirror doesn't distort the truth to fit our comfort level. If you have areas in your life that need changing, God's word will expose them. If you read God's word. If you don't read God's word, then usually it's somebody else that's telling you what you need to know, and you think they're just judging you. The other day, I guess, is that the new thing in kids? Now, don't judge me. Is that a new relevant, like that's the new phrase? Because my granddaughters, I got one that's 13, 11, and 8 or something, huh? 8, 10, and 13. So the 8-year-old apparently was sitting at our kitchen counter, breakfast counter thing the other morning, or the other day from coming home from school. Well, she had her face painted like a cat or something. And my daughter, who's 29 or whatever years old, just walks in and says, "Hey, what's wrong with your face? You know, my daughter's just being fun, you know. What's on your face?" And my granddaughter says, "Don't judge me." And when my daughter's telling me this story, I'm looking like, why would she think you're a judge? And then I realized She's like, because I guess the other two sisters have been making fun of her because she looked like a cat. And so apparently they thought that she felt like she was being judged because she had cat stuff painted on her face. And so apparently that seems to be the thing. I guess the new generation, they're all about, you can't say anything to them because if you do, you're judging. Well, I'm just going to say this as a side point. That's not judging. That's just making an observation. You got cat paint on your face. You know, it's that's all I was saying, right? The Bible does have lots to say about judging, but that's another time and another message in another day. If you have areas in your life that need to be changed, God's word exposes them. So I don't know about you, but here are some reflections I don't really, really like. So let's look at the Word of God this morning and see where is your reflection in the Word of God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 19. Now I'm going to look on, I got it up here. So there are six things that God hates. All right, we're looking at the Word of God, right? We're looking at a mirror this morning. Six things God hates. One more that he loathes with a passion. Is this the message? Okay. Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, a mouth that lies under oath, and a troublemaker in the family. So let's reflect in the Word this morning. Does any of that hurt? Don't answer out loud. You don't even have to nod your head. Seven things that God hates. Do you see any of those in your own life? I'm not judging you. Let me make that very clear this morning. I am not judging you. And if you've been around Solid Rock and heard me speak enough, you know that I've said that if I'm pointing one finger at you, how many do I have pointing back at me? Four. Three, boomer. Well, it depends on which hand it is. If I'm using this hand, then I got 2 points because this finger don't bend, all right? The worship team makes fun of me because I can't give a thumbs up to the worship team. I give them this because my finger, it don't go, I got to make it go back. And so Boomer is correct. In my case, if I use my right hand, I point at you, I got 2 points back at me, all right? But if I use my left hand pointing at you, how many Boomer do I have? Three. Okay, I have three pointing back at me. So I am not judging you at all. I have to look at the Word of God as my mirror the exact same way you do. The mirror of God's Word is not different for me than it is for you. My wife is amazing. She's beautiful. She's lovely. She's a kind person. She's everything Jesus tells us to be, but she still has to look in the mirror just like I do. I'm not as much of those things as she is. I still have to look in the mirror, and I still have to see the reflection of the things that God's Word says that I'm supposed to be. Are you listening? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Now, I didn't know that I was, anyways, you probably, if you were here on a Wednesday night a week ago or so, you heard this back then, but it's absolutely a mirror that we can use in the Word of God to look at our own lives. And this is from the Message. It says, if I give everything out, is that right? 1 Corinthians 4 through 8. That's 3 through 10. We'll go with it. I'll just read it because I told you, Nick, didn't I? I said, just put it up there. I'll go, okay. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Now, here's where I was going to. This is the mirror that I wanted us to look at this morning. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Does that really say that? Does your screen say the same thing mine does, or is Nick messing with me? Says the same thing? All right. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. I want some stuff that I don't have. You know what I'm saying? Love doesn't strut. That's not a problem for me. I can't hardly walk straight, let alone strut. So that was not so much an issue. Love doesn't have a swelled head. I try not to have, but every once in a while. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. I mentioned this not too long ago, but man, do we not live in an age of entitlement? Everything is all, everyone seems to be all about me first. We can't find any common ground. We can't find peace in the middle of discord because everybody is all about me first. Amen. And so we look in the mirror and we realize, well, if we are loving, love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Now the Bible's going to meddling. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Clearly God has an agenda. Clearly God is judging. If love don't fly off the handle, how many of us got to say, oh me, oh me. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Now that's one that we can probably all be like, oh, because how many times do we remember how somebody messed us over? We remember the hurts and the things that somebody said. And so it's tough to look in the mirror and see, am I walking in love? Love doesn't revel when others grovel. I ain't gonna lie. There's times when people are a jerk to me on the road, I laugh if they get a flat tire. No, I laugh if they get pulled over by the cop when they up ahead of me. You know what I'm saying? Because they come flying by there. Like, you know what I'm talking about? You know, zoom. Oh, you're going to get it. And a little bit later, as the cop got him, woo, sucker. I ain't going to lie. I have to deal. I revel in that. Takes pleasure in the love does. Take pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Man, is anybody hurting yet? Because I feel like I'm getting beat up right now. Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. How many times do we tell God, Lord, I trust you, but man, I ain't seeing what I need to see. I know your word says what it says. I know this says there's healing. I know that it says that I'm whole. It says that I'm saved, but I don't really feel like it right now. So I have to look in the mirror, and I have to be reminded that God says that I trust him always. If I'm going to react to the reflection in the mirror, I've got to be reminded to myself, I have to trust God always. My wife deals with what she deals with. Pray for her all the time, several times a day. Then when I ask her, I say, how you doing all right? Or how you doing right now or whatever. She'll be like, I'm hurting, but I believe it's going to get better. I'm hurting, but I know it's only temporary. She speaks the word because she looks in the mirror and sees what the word says. Right? Love always looks for the best. Can I meddle a minute? Good, because I was going to anyway. I think this is just my opinion, but I think the word of God would back it up. I don't have like specific scripture, but you know, I think the hardest thing for us to do is look at the best in our family. We live with them. We grow up with them. We go to church with them. We do everything we do with our family. And so we see their failures and we see their faults and we see that the shortcomings, amen? We see this stuff that they do, that they know that they're doing wrong and they do it anyway. They know that it's wrong. And so we see that and it colors our perspective of them, amen? It covers what we think of that person. And so when I'm in the mirror looking back at myself because I'm mad because of something didn't happen right or because my kids did something or they didn't do something or whatever, the mirror says that love always looks for the best. Mirror, mirror on the wall. What are we looking at? Love never looks back, but love keeps going to the end. How many times do we look in the mirror and say, I quit? I'm done. I've had enough. I'm not doing it anymore. That's what they said last time, and they still aren't keeping their word. I'm done. Yet the mirror says that if we love, we keep going to the end. Now, I don't want to be misleading this morning, and please don't misunderstand and misinterpret. For me to suggest that if you're getting beat by your spouse, you should just keep going to the end. That's not what I did. Everybody understand that this morning? Say amen. Amen. I am not suggesting, and the word of God is not suggesting, that we just take it on the chin and keep on being abused. That's not, That's not my position to stand on this morning. I'm just saying that's not what I'm saying. It's just when we feel like we're tired of somebody saying things to us or being bullied or whatever the case, we want to quit, give up, check out, whatever the case may be. But the Word of God says love keeps going to the end. I don't know who said Christianity was easy, but the older I get, Gabe, the more I realize Christianity is messy. And trying to walk in this stuff is not simple. It's not easy. Some days are better than others. Amen. Amen. So look at some more mirror this morning. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to try to give you a little bit of background. We're back in Exodus. This is back in the time of Moses and the Israelites. And they have just come out of Egypt. They've been out of Egypt for about 3 months. They have gone into an area called the wilderness of Sinai. They have set up their camp where they're literally facing the Mount Sinai. We've heard about that in the Word of God. Their camp, their tents, everything is pointed toward Mount Sinai. And Moses is going to go up and have a conversation with God. Now, Mount Sinai is 7,500 feet tall. If Moses is going to go talk to God, it's about a five-hour trip round trip. A couple and a half hours up, a couple and a half hours back. So he ain't just stepping around the block. When Moses is going to talk to God, he's got a way to go to get there. Amen. And if you read in chapter 19, the preceding chapter, there's a whole lot going on. God's like, you know, Moses, do this. Moses, I want to talk to my people face to face. And Moses is like, really? God wants to have a conversation with his people, but he tells Moses there some. So 3 days, get ready. I want you to get the people ready in 3 days because I'm going to come down on the mountain and I'm going to talk to my people. But you got to set up some barriers. You can't have anybody on the mountain when I come down. You can't have nobody touching the mountain. You can't have nobody wanting to come up the mountain. So whatever you got to do to make sure that nobody touches it, because if they touch the mountain, they're going to die. Don't let nobody touch the mountain. So there's all this stuff going on. Preparation 3 days ahead. And God says, Moses, this is what's going to, you come back, talk to me. And when you do, make sure you've let the people know what's going on. Got it with me so far? Say, all right. So when Moses goes up, he talks to God, and the people are seeing all of a sudden there's rumbles and thunders and flashes and clouds. And it always makes me think, have you ever seen the movie Shrek? The mountain where it's rumbling and it's red fire, you know, spinning around the clouds and it's lightning and all the, I guess when the dragon is there, all this, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen the movie? So there's all this stuff going on. I mean, it is an ugly situation. And the people are down at the base of the mountain. They're seeing this going on. Well, here comes Moses bebopping down the mountain because God has said what he's going to say. And so Moses walks out to the people and says, this is what God says. This is your mirror. No other gods, only me. This is in verse number 3 in Exodus 20. No other gods, only me. No carved gods of any shape, size, or form, or anything, whatever, whether of things that walk or fly or swim. Don't bow down to them and don't serve them, because I am God, your God, and I'm a most jealous God, punishing the children for any sins their parents pass on to them, to the third, and yes, even to the fourth generation of those who hate me. But I'm unswervingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments. So God is telling them, no other gods, no carving, no graven images. Most of us know old King James Version, no graven images, right? Verse number 7, let me back up. Verse 7 says, no using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly manner. Can we just reflect in the mirror here real quick for a minute? No using the name of God in vain. No using the name of God in curses. No using the name of God in silly banter. Is there any reflection happening right now? This is what my mirror tells me. Is it the same on screen still? You guys still seeing the same thing I'm reading? If we're looking at the mirror, God says, don't be doing it. God won't put up with the irreverent use of his name. I was in the Air Force. I was in the military. How many of this morning are veterans? You were in the military. Raise your hand. There are a few of us around. Roth, I don't know about you. You're Army. Is that correct? You know, I know the Army, are they're probably a little more holy than the Air Force. But I remember in the Air Force, well, here's my point. I remember there was a whole lot of cussing in the Air Force. Is it the way in the Navy? Fact of the matter is, if you spend much time at all in the military, you usually came out speaking more cussing than you did normal language. I never got into all that, never understood it. I tried when I was in second grade, I tried to use the F word. And I couldn't, Mark. It just wasn't me. I just couldn't do it. I'm like, to this day, I don't understand. I don't understand why people have to use cussing, because to me, it just sounds like they just have a poor language skills. If every other word you're using is a cuss word, you clearly need to update your dictionary skills. Can I hear an amen? And if you're looking in the mirror, you realize God himself says, hey. Amen. Verses 8 through 11, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I know this Sunday we call Sunday the Sabbath day. Some say that Saturday's the Sabbath. I don't care. Just as long as I spend some time in the house of God worshiping him one day a week, amen, in this church and most of America, Sunday is the Sabbath for all practical purposes. So God says, observe the Sabbath, keep it holy. Work 6 days, do everything you need to do, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a holy day to God, your God. Don't do any work, not you, not your son, not your daughter, nor your servant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, not even the foreign guests visiting in your town. Now, how many knows in today's society that just ain't flying? We all have something going on. We're all cooking meat on, especially today and tomorrow, right? Somebody's barbecuing this weekend. How many's having family over? How many maybe has to work on your car? You know, we all got stuff to do, amen? And we use the holidays nowadays to utilize that time. And so God says, just keep a Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Spend time in the house of God. 6 days God made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as a holy day. So that's just one reason why we need to be in the house of God on Sunday. Everybody got it? Say, all right. Verse number 12. We're still looking in the mirror. We're still looking and looking at our reflection on this thing. Honor your father and your mother. And not just to honor your father and mother, but listen. Honor your father and mother so that you'll live a long time in the land that God is going to give you. If you want to live a long life, honor your father and mother. If you want to die early, backtalk your mom, I guarantee you. Backsass grandma, you're going to meet Jesus early. At least in my day, that's the way. Does anybody remember that kind of day? You didn't backtalk grandma. There was honor, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. There wasn't none of this, whatever. Am I preaching to any choir today? Are we looking at young people? How many young people under the age of 18 do we have in the house of the Lord today? Raise your hand. Don't lie. Yeah, mom, grab the hand, raise it up there. If you're 18 or younger, the Bible says that we are to honor our parents. Does it say you honor your parents if you agree with them? It says honor your parents. And there's a promise that goes with honoring your parents. Are we listening, young people? Crickets, okay. Well, the seed has been planted. Can the older generation say amen? Verse number 13, no murder. I can deal with that one. I think I'm okay there. I never murdered anybody, not with, you know, physically, but there's a verse in the Bible, I believe, that says that if you say things that call somebody a fool, it's the same as murder, maybe. Is that Dr. Sue? Is it something along those lines? So while me and they may not stab somebody and take their life or shoot them or whatever, sometimes the things we say are equivalent to murder. So if we're looking in the mirror and we're reflecting, maybe some things that we are saying, we need to say, oh, man, again. Amen? Number 15, no stealing. No lies about your neighbor. No lusting after your neighbor's house or their wife or their servant or their maid or their ox or their donkey. Don't set your heart on anything that is your neighbor's. So verse 18 and 19 says, all the people experiencing the thunder and the lightning and the trumpet blast and the smoking mountain, they're afraid and they pull back and it stood at a distance. And they said to Moses, you speak to us, we'll listen. But we don't want to listen to God because we'll die. All of a sudden, when they began reflecting on God's word and God's commandments and the way things, all of a sudden they realized they can handle a human being speaking to them, but they can't handle what God has to say for real. And so our challenge this morning is, what is our mirror telling us? What are we reading when we and seeing when we look in the mirror? Now, Moses spoke to the people, and he said, don't be afraid. God has come to test you and instill a deep and reverent awe within you so that you won't sin. Listen, the whole reason why Pastor and Mama Rhodes and whoever other leaders stand up here to speak the word, the whole reason we're doing that is to show you what maybe things need to change in our lives so that we can revere God, so we can be awe-inspired by God. Did you know that when the Bible talks about a fear of the Lord, yeah, we may shake in our, if we ever actually had a sense of the real presence of God, we probably would melt into a blob. But as best we as human beings now can do, the fear of God is that we reverence him and we awe him and we realize his word is real and that his plans are real and legit and holy and we're in awe of who he is so that we don't sin. The whole purpose of the word, the whole people's purpose of looking in the mirror, the whole purpose of reading what God's word says to us and challenging us is to lead us away from doing the sinful things that we do. Whether it be disrespecting their parents, whether it be murder, whether it be all the seven things that we read about it in that first scripture we read. Amen. The more we read God's word, the more it will hopefully influence us to correct some areas in our lives. What's the point? I'm going to say this, but I'm going to preface it with something else. I understand one of the reasons we come to church is to see our friends. Like most of us, our family is our church family. We really don't have relationship with family outside of the walls of the church. By whatever reason, however way it is, some of us find we have closer family connections to people in the house of God than we do our own blood relatives. Amen. I don't think that's God's intended best, but that just is the way life is. Life gets dysfunctional, Uncle Gary. Things happen, whatever happens. We come to church because we have a need to be around people that we love and that love us. I love coming to this church. I love my worship team. I love you guys. I absolutely love getting to say hi to you and pick on you and love on you and hug you. I love that. I that's one of the reasons I'm here. But even more important is I need God's word to change me because I need help. I mean, I'm looking in the mirror, like I said, realize if you don't look at the mirror, you don't see all the stuff. You don't see the imperfections. You don't see the shortcomings or the extra layers. You don't see the extra baggage you got carrying around. Amen? But the more we read God's word, the more hopefully it influences us to correct some lives. Not only will God's word help us to see what we need to fix, but it will also show us how to fix what needs to be fixed. But listen, if you don't get into the word of God, how are you going to know? If you're not looking at the mirror and you're not looking at that reflection, how are you going to know what needs to be adjusted in your life? Listen, you can get on Fox News and you can get on Google and you can get on, Lord help me, there's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, God help everybody that's on Facebook. There's TikTok, is that what we were talking? Dylan, was it TikTok this morning you were talking about? You what? No, I've heard of TikTok. I just don't have it. Number one, ain't nobody got time for that. There's all of these media resources for you to see what the world has to say. And as best I understand, I'm not on it because I know better, but as best I understand, there's a whole lot of that that isn't any good for anything. There's a whole, I'm going to start messing. I'm going to quit right there. So we look, especially younger generations, my granddaughters, from the time they get to my house to the time they leave, they got their face in a tablet. I ain't kidding you. Like, they don't even tell me hi anymore when I walk in my house. Walk in, hi, girls. Hello, crickets. Because they got their face in a tablet or got their ear bud things in, watching whatever they're watching, you know, putting on makeup. How many makeup videos you got to watch to figure out how to put my eyes mascara? I don't get it. That's above my pay grade, I guess. But if we're always watching the world and we're always looking at what the world has to say, but we're not looking at what the Word of God has to say, Carla, how are we going to change the stuff we need to change? How are we going to see the truth of who we really are? Man, I can get on a soapbox right there. Have you ever gotten out of bed, tried to make yourself look presentable without looking in the mirror? Now, for some of us with shorter hair, maybe we can get away with it. You throw our clothes on, you know, don't even have to fix our hair, off we go. Dennis is giving me the thumbs up. Dennis don't care. Long as he ain't naked, he's good to go. But some of us in the room, and I'm not going to point or name names, we can't make ourselves presentable without looking in the mirror. And let me just say this. Again, I'm getting to meddling, but I'm like, why you got to have a blow dryer for your beard? Dustin, why you got to have a flat iron? Okay. There's like, you got to put like 14 oils on it and special shampoo, and you got a flat iron and blow it and make sure it fluffs just right. And I'm like, man, I like a goatee. You just trim it and you go. You know, who cares? You know, is anybody in the house seeing what I'm seeing? You look in the mirror, Chuck's like, yes, sir. You know, you gotta do all this stuff. So when I was younger, I did have feathered hair. If you remember the days of feathering back in, Roth, that was a very hearty laugh, Roth. Oh, dude, one of Dylan's favorite non-memories is Dylan has a way of blending stories to suggest that they are real, and so I've shared stories before, like when I was in Desert Storm, and this was a really holy moment to me. I loaded weapons on the F-15 fighter jet. Okay, that was my job. And so I worked at night, and obviously if we're not flying jets, I'm not loading any weapons. And so I still have to be on site, and I crawled up. I was questioning God. I was asking God, Lord, you know, what's up? I climbed up on the back of an F-15. An F-15 has twin engines, so I was laying in the swallow between the two engines, and I'm laying there looking up at the stars. And if you've never seen the stars in the Saudi desert, can I just tell you they're amazing? There's no light around. All there was stars. And I'm asking God, I'm like, God, what in the world do you have me doing here? Well, somehow Dylan has, what is the word, conflated all that? I don't know if that's the right word. So he has seen pictures of me, Roth, when I was in high school, and I had feathered hair, and so Dylan says he always imagines me on the back of an F-15 in the Saudi Arabian desert with my hair flowing in the wind. And I'm like, Dylan, you clearly don't understand the military. There is no flowing hair in the military. You're lucky. You're lucky if you got as much hair as James has this morning. You're not counting Dennis in there. But, I mean, there was no religious exemption for hair, Dylan, not in the Air Force. I don't know about everybody else, but the Air Force, there was no religious exemption for feathered hair. No, sir. And so that's Dylan's vision of me all the time. He always thinks I was in the military hanging out on the back of an F-15 with my hair waving in the wind. And that is really not true at all. I did have wavy hair, a feathered hair when I was a teenager, permed. She's laughing over here. I had a feathered hair on top. What was it? I didn't have a mullet. You know, the party in the back and something in the front or something, whatever the – business in the front part and back. That was not going on. I didn't have a mullet. Nope. All that nice things I said about my wife earlier just went straight out the back door. So anyway, the point of is that back when I was a teenager, yes, I did use a blow dryer and I did have to look in the mirror to make myself presentable. I had to look good for my wife, right? No comment on that one? Nope. She says, nope, not on that one. You're right, babe. You needed to look good for me. So, well, judging from some of you this morning, you know, most of y'all, some of you didn't make yourself look presentable in the mirror. You just pretty funny looking just where you sit. Scott, yeah, Chuck's back there rubbing his head because he knows what I'm talking about. Our Christianity gets pretty messy. I think I said that a little bit earlier. And we don't, especially when we don't look in the mirror of God's word. James 1, verses 22 through 25. Let's look at this mirror this morning. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Ugh. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who, what's that say? They glance in the mirror, they walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are and what they look like. Are we looking in a mirror this morning? Christianity isn't supposed, is that the last of it? Oh, there's some more. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, can somebody say the word, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action of looking at God's word. I was going to get a whole bunch of scriptures out of like Proverbs and Psalms, but I figured we'd just all melt right here in the middle of the floor and couldn't even walk out, because if you ever read the Psalms and Proverbs and you use that as a mirror for your life, you want to get saved all over again, start all over, because it will tell you right where you're at. Am I talking to anybody this morning? So I didn't even put them in here because I didn't know if I could handle it. Like if I'd have read all that, I'd probably just, you know, I ain't even preaching today because I'm not worthy to stand up here and preach. Are you listening? Christianity isn't supposed to be a club or a philosophy or religious ideal that we live up to. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus that's continually changing us from the inside out. If you are here this morning and you've been lied to about what Christianity is, I'm telling you right now, you've been lied to about what Christianity is. Christianity is about getting closer to Jesus Christ and letting him change you on the inside and change you from the inside out. That's what Christianity is about, a relationship with Jesus. It's a growing process. It's not a decision. It's not even really a destination. Salvation isn't even a destination. It's a journey. Because listen, because you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. Jesus said it's that simple. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to do all these things to get saved. If you said, Jesus, I know that I need you and I cannot do anything. Like I am a sinner and I need you to save me, you're saved. It's that simple. But our salvation process is a much longer process because Jesus loves you just the way you are. But he doesn't want you to stay where you are. There are things in your life that Jesus wants changed because it'll make you a better person. When you look in the mirror, you find out the things that Jesus wants you to change so that you can be a better person. Are we listening? Say amen. Amen. Salvation is a growing process. Christianity is a growing process that is never fully and complete. Because of that, we always fall short of what Jesus has intended. Amen. But God expects us to keep trying. That's why he gives us the mirror. So we can see what that mirror is telling us about ourselves. One of my favorite scriptures of all time, and some of you that were in Madhouse, you might remember this, but it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And it says this, but as for you, this is the New International Version, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. How many of you have been around Solid Rock long enough to get an idea of pastors and who they are? To trust that what they're teaching you is the Word of God and not just some flaky cult whatever. Can I hear stronger? They're going to be watching, so you better say a much louder amen than that. So one more time. Yeah, okay, there you go, Pastor. They said a loud amen. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Don't flip it yet, Blake. For salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures, the mirror, is able to make you wise if you're looking at it. Are you listening? And the next, there's a couple more there. All Scripture, this is what I wanted to get to today. This is the most important thing to me. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is what Scripture is for. That is what the Word of God is for. That is what the mirror is for, so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you're listening, say, ouch. All right, good deal. If I'm pointing one at you with this hand, how many fingers I got pointing back? You guys are great. And if I'm pointing with this hand, how many I got? Man, you guys are going somewhere. I am not judging anyone in this house. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter if you're a young person, if you're an older person. I'm simply sharing the Word of God so that you can evaluate your status and your situation. Look in the mirror of God's Word and see where you stand before God. If everybody believes and understands that, we just raise your hand and say amen. Make sure we understand that I'm not trying to pick on anybody, nor am I trying to say anything other than what the Word of God has said this morning. Amen? So, I'm going to give an altar call, but it's going to be maybe a little bit different of an altar call. I don't think I want... Let me do two things. I'm convinced, because I'm a human being and every one of us that are in here are human beings, I'm convinced that there probably isn't at least one thing that's been said this morning that hasn't struck your heart in conviction. Now, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is what the Holy Spirit does in your heart because you heard something that makes, oh, God, I need to change this. Condemnation is what the devil says in your ear when he says you're not good enough and you'll never be good enough, and it doesn't matter what you do to make yourself better, you will never be as good as Jesus. That's true. But Jesus said, the things that I did, you can do. We'll never be like Jesus to the fact that Jesus never ever sinned. We, every one of us in this house right now, have already sinned. Probably at least twice. So no, we will never be like Jesus in the fact that he never sinned. We've already lost that one. But we have the promise, because of conviction, when the Holy Spirit speaks to our life, that something needs to change in us. The devil condemns, Holy Spirit convicts. Holy Spirit convicts in love, the devil condemns in hatred. Does that make sense to you? Something godly will never, ever, ever condemn you. If there's a person who stands behind this pulpit and they condemn you, it will never be godly. Now, let me also be clear. Speaking the Word of God in truth sometimes will feel like you're being condemned, because you're going to feel like you're being judged. Because the Word of God's truth is the Word of God's truth. It's not a man-made opinion. It's not a political stance. It's simply the truth. It is what God's Word is. So many times, if you're hearing the Word of God and you feel offended by what's being spoken, if the Word of God is the truth, the offense may be coming from the way someone is speaking it. I had a cousin call me one time, and she was hacked off. I hadn't talked to her in years. And she was hacked off because she had gone to, she's living a lifestyle that's not holy. She's living a lifestyle that she shouldn't have been living, because she knew better, because she used to come to church and she knew better. But she called me because she was mad, because she had gone to a church with a friend of hers. And the preacher at that church was just given what for about the lifestyle that she was living. And she's telling me all this. Well, this is what the preacher said, and this is what the preacher said, and this is what the preacher, and just giving it all to me. And I'm like, well, hey. She's like, I want to know what you think. I want to know what, I'm like, you sure you want to know what I think? And she's like, yeah. I said, I want to tell you what I think. That preacher's 100% right. The things that she's saying are the things that are in the Word of God. She wasn't preaching her personal, what was that, Reader's Digest version. She wasn't preaching an opinion. She was speaking the Word of God. The reason you're so upset is probably one of two things. Number one, because you know that she's right. Or number two, because of the way that she said it. You know, because sometimes people can be really religious and be really almighty, higher than thou kind of thing when they speak the Word of God. And they're, what is the phrase I'm thinking of? Help me out. Condescending, holier than thou. Thank you. That's what I was on. Holier than condescending is true. They speak in a condescending way and a holier than thou way. I hope and I pray I have not come across to you that way, because I promise you that is not my intention at all. But sometimes when the truth is delivered, it's delivered in a hurtful way. And it's easy for you to feel condemned or judged, even though the truth is still the truth. Did I say that in a way that makes sense? It's kind of like, you've probably heard the analogy, I can say, come here, puppy. I want to cut your ears off. I'm going to torture you. What's that puppy going to do? And it's slobbering and licking all over you. Why did the puppy come to you? It wasn't because of what you said, but the tone of voice that you used. On the flip side of that, you say, come here, puppy. I want to pet you and love on you and give you all kind of loving. And what's that dog going to do? Or. Right? It depends. Just being an alpha male, probably, right? Just talking to him. I've seen dogs run. Let's say it again. Different lifestyles. It could be, you're right, but in most cases it's probably not, because most of us don't talk, most of us don't sound like we're out to beat you up when we're telling you what we're telling you, right? Amen? And so if somebody has delivered the Word of God to you, even though they've spoken in truth and they've sounded condescending, they've sounded holier than thou, they sounded condemning, whatever the case may be, the Bible says to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to train you in righteousness. You know, rebuke is not always nice. Rebuke rarely feels good. Teaching, so, you know, I can deal with teaching. I can deal with some correction. I'm great with training. Show me how to be a better whatever. But when we get rebuked, whew, we get all kind of up in arms. Well, don't you and then all of a sudden all them words we were talking about earlier that we're not probably supposed to be saying in the house of God, we start saying and acting in ways because we get rebuked by the Word of God. Everybody follow me? My point to all that is that for those of you that are here this morning and maybe you've not heard the truth of God's Word about salvation or about we need Jesus, whatever the case may be, maybe you've been beaten over the head with the Bible before. That's not God's best. The truth is the truth. The mirror is the mirror. It is what it is. You can't change it. It is what it is. But the difference is, how do you receive it and how do you react by the mirror that you're looking at? What mirror are you looking at? Are you looking at one that makes you look skinny? Are you looking at a mirror that makes you look holy? Or are you looking at a true mirror, one that's honest and truly reflective, that allows you to see who you really are and where you really stand at the foot of the cross? Make sense? So my altar call this morning is two things. Don't raise your hand if this message has hit you in a spot and you, when you looked at the mirror this morning, you're like, oh, why'd you have to go and do that, Dwayne? Because that is so me. Don't raise your hand. Not my business. Amen? That's between you and God and whoever and however you act like that. The other altar call is maybe you're here and you see in the mirror this morning that you need Jesus Christ. That there's more to this than just looking at a mirror, but there's something that needs to change in your heart and in your trust and in your hope. And you need Jesus to do that. That's who we want to pray with this morning. So if you are here and you're the second person that you realize you need Jesus to do something that you cannot do, that not even grandma can do for you. Grandma can't get you saved. Grandma loves you. But they can't make you saved. Do you need Jesus this morning? Are you looking in the mirror and realizing there's some stuff in your life that you need to fix? Excuse me. There's some stuff in your life that Jesus needs to fix. And if that's you and you'll let us pray with you, will you come here? Let us pray with you. We're not going to make a big deal of it, big show. It is a big deal. Because the Bible tells us that when even one person comes to know Jesus Christ in a personal way, that all of heaven rejoices. And we will rejoice with you as well. But we're not going to, I'm just keeping it simple this morning. Amen. So one more time, anybody who you feel like you need to know more about Jesus and you need to know more about how to make some changes in your life, will you come? Don't have to be ashamed. You don't even have to feel condemned. But if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, don't pass up the opportunity. The Bible tells us that we can only come to Jesus Christ if the Holy Spirit draws us to him. And the Spirit of God is drawing you right now. You may not get that chance again. I'm not trying to speak negative or scare you at all. Your salvation is not my responsibility. That's yours. My responsibility is to share the truth with you and for you to act on that. Amen? So one last time, anybody? You feel like Jesus is calling you? Spirit of God speaking to you? Okay. I pray. Anybody else? Krissa, will you and Miss pray? Father, we worship you. Dylan, will you go ahead and come up to the piano and just play a little something? Father, we thank you for your word. Even though it hurts, we thank you for the truth in your mirror, for the accuracy of your mirror. Even though it doesn't feel good, even though it hurts our pride, but that's one of the things that you said in your mirror that we need to get rid of is pride. And so, Father, as we come before you, God, whether we're weary, God, whether we're lost, whether we are searching for hope, Lord, we pray this morning that you'll change us from the inside out. God, that we will have seen something in your mirror this morning and that we will have purposed in our heart and made decision to change that thing with your help. God, we know, or the word tells us, that there are some things that you do for us that we don't have the capability to do. In fact, you call it grace. Grace is your ability to do in us what we don't have the ability to do. But God, your word also tells us that there are things that we have to do on our own, the things that we have the capability to do or to not do. Lord, that's on us. But you promised in your mirror that you would help us through these things. So God, we worship you this morning and we thank you for your promise of hope. We thank you for your promise of salvation. We thank you for your promise of peace in the storms and ugliness of life. And God, even if there is someone here this morning who didn't come forward, and that's okay, Lord, I pray that you'll touch them right where they're at. God, that something will happen, that you will send other people across their path, Lord, to love on them and to encourage them and to help them to gain wisdom about what your word says. God, if that's here at Solid Rock, hallelujah, we're great with that. But God, if that's somewhere else, that's the most important thing, not where they go to church, but that they do go and that they connect so that they can grow in their relationship with you. So God, we love you this morning. We're grateful to you. Lord, may you bless everybody with healing. Lord, may you bless every physical ailment, Lord, with grace and mercy. God, we know that there are those that are sick in body today. God, we pray for my wife. God, we pray for Miss Nora. Lord, we still continue to stand fast for Tammy, Lindsay, and Miranda. God, those that we've been praying for months, weeks, years. God, there are others that are sick in body this morning that maybe we don't have a prayer request turned in, but God, you know who they are. And Father, we're asking you to show us in your mirror and remind us that it's still your will that we be healed. It's still your will that we have peace, even in the midst of turmoil. God, we receive your word today. God, may our hearts have been prepared to receive the word, that the word would be seed that's sown in the soil of our hearts to produce a harvest, to help us to grow. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning and you agree, would you say amen? Look at somebody and smile at them and say, man, I'm so glad you're here today. And I love you. Even if I don't know you, I love you. God bless you guys. Hey,